This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy three-hour program lined up today. A lot of guests. We have a lot of games to get to tonight in the NBA, the NHL, and college basketball. Mike DeCourcy, college basketball in 30 minutes. A lot to discuss there with him. The Darren Peterson situation, Miami of Ohio, what happens if they actually lose, maybe in the conference tournament. Paul Stone, the defending college basketball contest winner here on VSiN. That begins this weekend. He's on the show in an hour. Dan Leberfeld, we'll talk some NFL with him, Jets Whispers. Jonathan Davis on the elongated NHL schedule tonight, and Steve Witz with Best Bets in Soccer. How about that? Anytime that you, it scares me a little bit that you want to like overhype something or, you know, superstition sets in, whatever. So our producer Luke pops on the program yesterday for the first time in a long time and the first time since the beginning of something that he is calling the angle in college basketball that he really started to put together back in late January. It was 35-10. Last 45 plays, he gives out two more plays at 50 angle last night. Whammo! 2-0, but it was not easy. So 37-10 last 40. Can you believe this?
Rocking chair. Come on, what are you talking about?
Oh, I got all the details, Paulie.
Yeah, Marymount down 15. Incredible. They come all the way back and get it done. And both games were an incredible sweat. Both teams were down big and epic comebacks. Talking to our guy, Jordan Scott. Because he likes to buy a point and a half or two maybe on a game. If you would buy 2 points on every play Luke has given out, you're 42-4.
Wow.
If you want to, or, you know, you throw these in teasers, whatever. But that just shows you how these closeys have been in the sweats. And to hit eight in a row, and now 79% overall, but to hit eight in a row and every single spread has been plus 1.5.
Well, but how about this then, too? Let's say that the projection sites were right, and the betting market would have agreed with them last night, and the winning teams would have been favored. They don't cover. Both teams won by a point.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were laying a point and a half or two, those are losing bets against the spread. But somehow, some way, here's what happened. And now we have, this is awesome, members of the Follow the Money Army, part of the Luke DeVosta Brigade as well on X. They're watching all these games. I mean, really rolling up the sleeves here and getting dirty. But Charlotte was down 10 in the second half. They won the game on an offensive rebound, and a free throw shooter went to the line who is shooting 60% on the year, swishes both. This is from Andrew. He watched the entire thing. North Texas, bad three-point shooting team. They went bananas from deep, and they blew a dunk that put him up. That would have put him up in the game. Missed a dunk. Now, this is not going to go. I don't even know how many more games we're going to have for the rest of the year. It's certainly not going to win every single time, but
why not?
well, enjoy it while you can.
Let's hit 15 in a row.
Okay.
Maybe he can do this. And I like the play tonight. Eastern Washington's won 6 in a row. Again, it's plus 1.5. And they're coming off a nice win where they beat Portland State, who's number one in the Big Sky.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep rocking and rolling here. And this is phenomenal work.
The other game was Loyola Marymount, trailing by 15 at halftime. This is a tweet from 2019 Beat Cancer. Congratulations, by the way. That's outstanding. So LMU was up 66-63 with 7.5 seconds left. They had a guy going to the free throw line shooting 37% on the year, 10 of 26 on the season. And as he tweeted, front end of the 1-1, he missed the free throw so badly that he banked it in. And they eventually won by one. Yeah, I mean, this is like
something.
I mean,
great in play, too.
Breathe it in, my friends.
Like he said yesterday, though, a lot of times they're getting off to a hot lead or a nice start.
Right.
And a good size lead. Here we had to play catch up. So they won, but unfortunately, there were some incredible sweats. But 8 in a row, and that's great. Eastern Washington tonight fits the angle.
Luke,
so
let's
keep it going.
Is that number? I haven't checked in a long time. I know you tweeted it out last night, Luke. Is that number still available? Okay, he's looking at that right now.
While he's checking, too, it's also great that we're all on the same page here, and we get ready for the madness next week and the smaller conference tournament start. Everyone coming out with some good tidbits and notes. You know, I got a good tweet on Instagram. Good message on Instagram. Navy's won 12 in a row. They're burying people. 27, 28, 19, 16, 30, 17, blowing opponents out. Just got a tweet before the show. Cal Riverside, who plays tonight, 10-0 overrun on their team total. You know, the Cal Baptist game moved 9 points, 125 up to 134 with the total. So there's a lot of good tidbits. A lot of people are following stuff here now that we're getting down to March.
Yep. Luke just said that he checked several books. It's still available on Eastern Washington tonight at plus 1.5. Is UConn now the other number one seed, the fourth and final one? I mean, St. John's scored 14 points in the second half. I don't know how a team at this level misses their final 24 shots in a college basketball game.
Yeah.
And they didn't make a basket in the final 17 and a half minutes of the contest.
What happened? Strange. Oh, the long winning streak, they're playing so well. Yeah, maybe they should have more conversation when they're having breakfast. That ticked off Patino, but he owned it afterwards and just said it's on him. And the only time that's happened to him was when they had a bunch of walk-ons when they went to Kansas.
Yep.
Going back down memory lane. So he's right. They can still win the conference or share a conference title. Got the split. He's also right. Doesn't matter if you lose by 2 or 40. But to go 17 minutes without a basket, that is tough.
Yep.
And that is just embarrassing what happened. But great job by the crowd at Hartford and a great job by UConn getting the blowout win and a great call by Humans, who was on it with a rocking chair winner. Also, nice call on San Diego State that he had as well. So it was a good run with the picks last night with the college.
Yep. And thank God I did not chase, because I said on the air yesterday I was going to bet St. John's plus the 6. The number moved. The market liked him as well. And I'm like, I'm not taking a bad number at this point. And oh boy, doesn't matter if I took 6 or 26 in that game. That wasn't going to win. So at Bracket Matrix, UConn is the number one seed. And again, bracket, for those who don't know, Bracket Matrix is kind of an aggregate of, I don't know, 100 plus people who do bracketology, and they combine them and they spit out like an average number. They're pretty much number one according to almost everybody. The average seed for UConn now is 1.13 after last night. Bart Torvik, though, their average seed is 1.8, and still the most frequent seed when making the tournament for him is a 2. And prediction markets right now, UConn is 69% to get it. I'll tell you again, though, the team that scares me, and I know that we're going to do this a little bit later on with three teams versus the field. Florida, they are playing out of their minds right now.
And second half came in again.
Tip of the cap to David Bearman, who has been all, and his son, by the way, evidently as well, because I tweeted back at him last night. I said, man, that's been a great catch by you. And as they, you know, reminded me, it goes all the way back to last year in the tournament when they were, it looked like they were dead. And there are two different scenarios here. When they're trailing, they come back and they win the game in the second half, or when it's close or they have a small lead, they absolutely pull away in the second half. And this has been a thing now for a long time, going back to last year's title run. But their power rating wise, Paulie, they're not quite like at Michigan's level, maybe even Duke right now, but they're right behind them.
Mm-hmm. And a good test tonight. And a good, you know, it's unfortunate that the West Coast is now, West Coast Conference has moved their games to Wednesday nights, so you're not left with a lot of good matchups on Thursday now.
Right.
But you're looking at a battle for the 2 seed here. It could be the 2 seed in the Big Ten tournament, and also what could happen here. And I know Chris Felica likes Purdue and thinks they can take out Sparty because of the issues they've had on the road and how the offense disappears. So be a good test here for Purdue as well if they can get in that discussion, if you think there may be a team that could go to Elite Eight or something like that. But it's a big number tonight at home for the Boilermakers.
Yeah, so can Purdue put together back-to-back games like that at home as they absolutely obliterated Indiana? Mm-hmm. And that was a revenge game, and they had a couple of spots before the Indiana game, and that was a get-right game, and they did. And now can they put together like 2 A-plus performances in a row? This number's up to 8 at some books. All the projection sites are at about 6. Greg Peterson here at VSiN has Purdue minus 2 in the game. Both teams are 22-5. Both teams are 13-14 against the spread. I'm not going to get involved at this point. Maybe in play. That'd be about it. You also have some lower league teams with super gaudy records laying huge numbers tonight, like NC Wilmington, a team that was kind of a dark horse. Like, you know, watch out for this team in the tournament as a maybe a 12 or a 13 seed all the way back in October or November. They're 24-4. They're laying 12. Actually, the sites have them much higher in this game, up to 14, 14.5. Against NCANT and High Point, they're laying 11 at Presbyterian. They're 26-4. I know a lot of people who are like they're big fans of this team this year. G Unit makes them 13 in the game. Art Torvik only makes it 9. And the other one, Paul Stone's going to have a play on this game coming up in an hour. Liberty is laying a couple at Kennesaw State. Liberty is 23-4 and they have been a good team for, it feels like, several years now running, and a team that you might want to avoid in certain tournaments. And in the Summit League, both these teams have more than 20 wins on the year. North Dakota State is 23-6. They play at the Tommies, 21-8. And the Tommies taking money. There were threes out there, 3.5, 4. And now here at Circa, it's back to 3, but minus 115. Greg Peterson, by far, he is the Lone Ranger here. He has them an 8-point favorite in the game tonight. And he wrote this up at the website, obviously making a case for the Tommies to win this game and cover. And he wrote it up at -3.
I'm ready to tip it off next week. Let's just get to these conference tournaments.
Isn't it weird with the new schedule overall, the sports schedule? The NFL season finishes later than ever. As we talk about, you take maybe a couple of days off, you take a vacation, you come back.
Right into the madness.
And all of a sudden, hey, guys, it's March.
Yep.
It just zips by like that.
Yeah. But a lot of big line moves tonight, too. NBA, like I mentioned, this, what's going on in this Arlington game. 125 up to 134. So it'll turn out to be a fun night in the world of sports.
Yeah, that's a pretty big move, Paulie, this time of year.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get there with Eastern Washington, though, first and foremost.
Get that on X, too, Lou. Tweet that up. Tweet how you arrive at your number and everything. That'd be good to get going because you're 79%.
And, by the way, he's out for Veasan Pro subscribers. He's posting them now on the website as well. They can find them there. Up next, we have zeroed in on some NBA bets over the course of a busy Thursday card. And I took a shot with a player prop that pays higher than 3-1. I'll tell you who that player is coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
I still can't get used to big cards in the NBA on Thursday nights. After how many years of having like two or three, that's it, and the marquee games being on TNT, but here you go tonight with a busy, busy card overall. And unfortunately, Paulie, for our future bets with the Suns to win the Pacific, this is, it's a big game for them. I would love to see them win it. But without Booker, without Brooks, this team has not... they can't get 80 points in a game lately. And now they're catching six to a Lakers team that's going to have a full complement of players tonight. But I'm pretty confident the Lakers go there and win this game just based on the last couple of games where Phoenix can't put the ball in the hoop.
Yeah, it's been tough for them. And the Lakers coming off a bad loss against the Magic.
Yep.
And a rough homestand that Ayton said we're surprised by how poorly we played at home. You know, it's starting where you're going to have to face the reality here where maybe they could beat the Rockets, but it's hard to envision you're looking at a seven-game series and the Lakers are going to beat Denver, San Antonio, OKC, someone like that, maybe Minnesota. But you see their record against the top teams, and these are just alarming numbers, and this has been getting a lot of run. How their numbers are fantastic when it's Luka and Reeves, but when the big three are on the floor together, no good, and when it's just Luka and LeBron, they've been outscored, and it's a disaster. Here's Brian Windhorst on the conundrum that the Lakers face.
Big, big issue. Their big, big issue is so Austin Reeves came back about 8 games ago from his injury. Luka missed some time in there. But when Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves play together, they're just not a good team. And they've been leaning on the fact that injuries over the last two seasons have prevented them from really having a lot of time together. But the data is just the data, okay? When Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic play together, when it's just the two of them out there, the Lakers are an excellent team. When all three of them play out there, they're not. So it's actually a 20-point difference. If you look at every 100 possessions, if it's just Luka and Reeves, or it's the three of them, there's a 20-point spread between how the Lakers play over 100 possessions. Okay, I could go into more into the detail. That's just the way it is. They're one of the worst offensive teams in the league when those three guys are out there together. And that's crazy. You say, how can that be? These three guys are all scorers. The problem is they all relatively do the same thing. They all need the ball in their hands. And they've worked on it. LeBron's worked off of the ball to learn how to play off the ball. The three of them don't work well together. When it's just LeBron out there by himself, guys, they're a very good team. When it's the two of the three, they're a very good team. When the three together, they're a bad team. They were a bad team offensively during this homestand.
Wow. That's shocking. That's what the issues Redick faces too, and how he's going to try to do this and adjust moving forward. I mean, we're almost into March.
You want to have the conversation with LeBron about coming off the bench?
I'm here for it because the numbers are good when it's just him.
He
didn't get into it there, but when it's Luka and LeBron, because Reeves was out missing that time, it's a disaster too.
Yep, here are the numbers, and this is from Underdog NBA. When you remove low leverage spots in the game with all three on, an offensive rating of 110.6, defensive rating 118.5. That is a negative 7.8 net rating. With Luka and Reeves on the court and LeBron off, offensive rating 126.4, defensive rating 108.5. The net is plus 18. It's not even close when you break down all those numbers.
Yeah.
Live betting angle then, when LeBron goes off the court and the other two to get involved with the Lakers, and then when he comes back on, go the other way.
Yeah.
I can't try to catch the middles here.
Yeah. And even though the Suns have had their issues, it's hard to recommend an under because the Lakers' defense has been so bad as well. That's the light game along with Minnesota and the Clippers. Good write-up today, as always, VSiN.com, Mackinnon. The dog is on a 9-1 run, and the under has hit 9 of the last 10 head-to-head, Clippers and the Wolves. T-Wolves up to 7.5, though. Kawhi may not play.
So they haven't played since Sunday, and they don't play again until, I think, this coming Sunday. How is he questionable?
Who knows?
And this was 5 all the way to 8, so that would tell you that probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
You want to get involved with Benedict Mathurin props. It's 20.5. It's come down from 21.5. His last three games, 38, 26, and 21 points. The minutes have gone down from 34, 32, and 30. The shots have been there, though, 16 plus in every single game. And the free throw attempts, if you go back in reverse order, 13, 14, and 7 free throw attempts. Is he going to get to the free throw line 10 times tonight? Like, if Kawhi doesn't play, do we like him more? Because then he'll take 20 shots probably in the game?
Yeah. Yes. I'm also I'm strong. I can't believe the Mavs are laying this, but it shows you how bad the Kings are and that Westbrook's out. But Dallas is sitting a ton of guys as well. So to me, again, Middleton got hurt in the last game, but he's been upgraded to probable. But this is all about Marshall and Bagley here for Dallas tonight with player props.
I got to play on this.
And Bagley as well has really played well in cleaning the boards for the Mavs. Klay Thompson is on a 6-1 under run. He's busy with the birthday with Megan Thee Stallion. 6-1 under run with the points prop. So I would think it's Bagley. And again, Marshall's playing well. But all these other, Gafford, all these guys are out for the Mavs. Someone has to score. And you got a total in the 230s, so a lot of guys are going to eat.
Right, so here's the deal, right? And I went back and looked at recent games involving Sacramento and where they're getting killed. Now, it's basically by every position, but the main position, like Şengün last night had a triple-double, 26, 13, yeah, and 11. Wemby the other night, surprise, surprise, 28, 15, and 4 blocks. Banchero had 36 assists and 5 boards. Jaren Jackson, before he got hurt, had 23 points. Jared Allen, the game before that, 29 and 10. So you look at Bagley's last three games, 15 and 13, 12 and 11, 22 and 5. I played over 23.5 points and rebounds, minus 114. They're getting absolutely mauled by big guys every single game, and you take out, again, Washington Flagg and Lively tonight?
There you go.
Had to do it with him.
Yep, I like the Bulls game over. No Avia, but Portland and Chicago have been horrible defensively in the last month. Bulls on a 1-13 straight up run and 2-12 ATS. It's 234, but it's going to be like a pickup ball tonight in Chicago. And how about our guy Kuminga? He's relatively low with his points prop tonight. Jalen Johnson's out. The last game they played went to the moon against Washington. They took it easy. They had so many points, and they're up 30. In that game, and Kuminga came back and went for 27.
Sure.
The guy can score. He had his issues with Kerr, but I think Kuminga's going to flourish in Atlanta.
So how do you want to attack? Because he played 24 minutes. I think he's going to get more minutes tonight. He shot well, 9 of 12, made 3 threes, went to the free throw line 7 times. That night, Paulie, his points prop was 10.5. And now because of that result and players being out tonight, it's 17.5, 18.5. But I'm comfortable still playing over 17.5. I think he's going to unleash something here, kind of proving to Golden State, like, you guys screwed this up big time over and over and over again. I tried telling you when I was there for several years. Yeah. And do you want to still ladder it? Do you want to go 20-plus? Do you want to go 25-plus with Kuminga? I want to catch this before. I think I want to bet him, because if he keeps going over, this is going to turn into a low 20s prop probably. So I think I'm going to bet that again tonight. And another one that I'm on in this Hornets-Pacers game. The Pacers have been so bad lately.
Yep.
Points allowed last three games, 131 to Washington, 134 to Dallas, 135 to Philly. I wanted to play the Hornets team total over if it was like 118, 119. It's 121.5. But again, they're getting basically killed from every other position on the team. I didn't really pick my poison here. Like, do I want to go with Brandon Miller, LaMelo Ball, Knepel? So what I did is I looked at who's actually producing for Indiana in their games. Well, Jairus Walker in recent games, he's had 19-14, 12-12, 18-9, and 8-10. He's had two double-doubles and two near double-doubles in his last four as he's getting more playing time. Siakam is doubtful in this game tonight. Neesmith and Zubac are both out. So it pays about 3-1 or a little bit better for a double-double. But I played 10-plus points and 10-plus rebounds because it pays higher, and he's not going to have 10 assists. So that pays plus 333 with him tonight. I think he's going to get probably 32, 35 minutes in this game, and with more players out.
Yep.
Okay.
Got a Malinsky special. The Magic return home after a week trip out on the West Coast. Houston's laying 3.5, and the Pelicans open 1. They're up to 7 as Utah's playing games and sitting everybody again. 244.5 the total. The Jazz are doing it the right way as far as tanking. Everyone's sitting. They have the worst defense in the league, and they have the second fastest pace. We talked about with our guest about a week ago, but that's how you do it. You play fast, you don't play defense, and that leads to your losses and certainly helps you sitting everybody in a big move in that game.
Yeah, I actually, with that Malinsky special in mind, my first approach was going to be to look at Houston in this game, and then you look at their schedule. Now, they played some weak competition, but this is a back-to-back for them on the road in Orlando tonight, hello. But this is their third game in four nights. I don't know what to do with the number here.
They saw the Celtics ran out of gas.
They certainly did.
Yep.
They were right there with Denver the entire first half, and then, what happened in the second half? In altitude.
Mm-hmm.
Desmond Bane's been great lately, by the way. But his prop is now 19.5 in that game tonight. He's been hitting a lot of threes. Finally, took him long enough here.
Yeah. I don't mind Middleton props, too, that he's back and it's apparently good to go. But check his status after he didn't play many minutes and got hurt in the last game. But he's been scoring for the Mavs.
College basketball, Mike DeCourcy coming up. We will get into the Darren Peterson situation. And what will the committee do if Miami loses in the MAC tourney? We'll ask him next here on VSiN. Heavy college basketball here. Been a big fan of this guy for a long time. Has done a great job covering college basketball for several years. Mike DeCourcy joins the program here on the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on X at TSN Mike. Pleasure as always to talk to you, sir. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys?
Really well.
Good, sir.
UConn had a hell of a performance last night, and what they did defensively to St. John's was incredible. I want to ask you this about the team. Did you, because we heard and we said this as well, like maybe some concerns about the team long-term this year in the tournament. They've been kind of underwhelming throughout the year. Did you have any concerns going into the game last night long-term with the Huskies? And then obviously, how did that change overall?
No, I think there are things that I wanted to see get better in order for them to do their best in March. And I think it started with Braylon Mullins, who I think is a terrific talent. And they give him a lot of freedom for a freshman in a veteran-dominated team. They give him a lot of freedom because he's a game changer. He's one of those guys that can get 25 points and do it without a lot of help, maybe a screen here or there, of course, but in terms of getting his own shot and manufacturing points when teams are really defending well. And that's, to me, was the one thing that I wanted to see more consistently. And Braylon was injured early, was injured in the middle of the season, his rhythm's thrown off and all of that. And I think I wanted to see that. But the fact that they weren't really super inspired by the Big East this year, mm-hmm. I get it. I mean, they have guys who've won two national championships, guys who played in elite conferences where every game was really difficult. And it just hasn't been the case for the Big East this year. And so it got them a week ago or so when they lost at home to Creighton on the eve of the Villanova game, which was really important to them. And you saw how they responded to that. And of course, the St. John's game, they wanted to get St. John's back for the Garden performance. And they got him back for that. And goodness knows how many other things that maybe St. John's looked at him wrong once upon a time.
Yeah, no kidding. This is refreshing that we finally found someone who loves Miami of Ohio, at least in terms of their resume or seed. You have them on the 8-9 line, while most people have them an 11 seed. And I know you've been part of this before, but they just did the mock selection committee with the media, and they had them last four in, losing in the MAC conference title game. What do you think of this undefeated team and where they could, and what they should be appropriately seeded if they happen to stumble?
I've been through the mock selection exercise four times, so I know how it works. And usually what happens is the moderator comes in and tells you what's happening, what gives you a made up results on uh-huh. the conference tournament title game. And when I sent my regrets that I wasn't going to be able to make it, I said, I 100% know that you're going to roll through there and say that Miami just lost to Akron in the MAC title game and make those people figure out what to do with it. I knew he was going to do that, and he did. It wasn't necessarily them saying they thought that Miami would lose, but that's how the exercise works. Look, I look at what Miami is right now, and I look at them, especially once we got past 20 games or so, and I said, okay, they're an undefeated team, as I do my bracket, and that's, I'm supposed to do it as if today were Selection Sunday. And an undefeated team, there has not been an undefeated team since they started seeding that was undefeated at the end of the regular season that was not a one seed. And so I don't think it's that far a leap to put them as an eight. And you look at their uh-huh. their resume metrics, the WAB, the wins above bubble, the strength of record, KPI, those all say basically eight or nine. And so I look at it and say, if they do this, if they run the table, how do you put them in an 11 after they've won, what, 35, 36 games? It just doesn't seem to make sense to me. If they do lose, the rest of the regular season would be problematic for them. I think at that point, they're going to want to win the conference tournament. If they get into the conference tournament undefeated, then the later they lose, the better, just to make sure. Like, if they get undefeated through the regular season and they play Akron in the final, and Akron's terrific, and they lose that game, there's just no way in my mind that they're not making the field.
Totally agree.
I mean, imagine that happens and they leave them out on Selection Sunday. What is your reaction going to be?
Well, the reaction would be, okay, I guess I'm writing a column about how outrageous this is. Because, again, every other one seed ever in the seeding era, which started in 79 with Larry Bird's Indiana State team, and so it includes multiple mid-majors. It includes that team, those Sycamores, as well as the 2014 Wichita team. Mm-hmm. Again, both number one seeds. Now, I'm not saying that I think this team warrants a one seed, or probably even a protected seed, which would be 1-4. But I certainly think that it warrants the respect of having gone undefeated through the regular season. And again, like, if they lost in the quarters to Buffalo or somebody, a team that they've had some trouble with, it wouldn't be ideal. They would have to sweat it a little bit. But if they lose in the final to a great team like Akron, which has only lost one MAC game and played a pretty challenging schedule, and whose coach, by the way, happens to be the brother of Miami's coach. Travis Steele is John Gross's brother, so that would really be something. But I think they have to be in if my scenario holds, it gets a little dicey in any of those others.
Yep, totally agree. Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Mike DeCourcy, has covered college basketball for a long time. With the Sporting News, follow him on X at TSN Mike. I'll give you three teams this year. You get Duke, Michigan, and Arizona, or you can take the field to win the entire thing. Which one are you going to go with?
So you give me all three of those?
You get all three, yep.
Yeah, I think I would take that.
Oh, you would?
I think I would take those three teams. I like the field. I like who they are. I think there's some really strong teams out there. But I really like Michigan and Arizona. And they both have things that they'll have to resolve through the course. Arizona's got to get healthy again. They had Koa Pete down for a week or two. Michigan's got to figure out their offense. They were shown to be fairly stagnant in that Duke game last Saturday. And that came from the point guard whose ability to be a champion, to run a championship team, has always been my only question about that group. They've got a tremendous backup in terms of being a backup in LJ Cason, but he didn't play great that night. And when things were stagnant, they didn't go to him. They stuck with their regular Elliot Cadeau, and it didn't fly. And so that's a question that they have to answer at the one seed, two seed, you know, Elite Eight, Final Four level. But I still think they can be overwhelming at times. And between that and the great consistency that you get at Arizona and the ability that Duke has to go off offensively between Cameron Boozer, Isaiah Evans, Caleb Foster, they've got a lot of guys who can fill it up.
2 minutes, Mike. You've been doing this a long time. I'd like your thoughts and also everyone you talk to. What do you make of the Darren Peterson situation?
It's the one thing in college basketball pretty much that I haven't been able to explain in four decades in this business. It's really puzzling because people think that he's load managing or maybe, you know, they've alleged that anyway. And they're concerned about how much he wants to play. The people who know him say that's not the issue. But his ailment is different than anything we've seen in terms of the cramping issues. And the fact that when he does cramp, it's not like they say, okay, well, sit over here and we'll ice you up or do whatever. He just stays on the bench and doesn't seem to be aggressively trying to get back in games. And so it's different than anything we've seen, but it's the one thing that can prevent him from being the number one pick in the draft. It's the only thing, because his ability is as great as I think A.J. DeBonta is, and I love him as a player. Peterson, if there's no constraint to him, is an absolute next-generation talent. He can be one of those guys that we talk about and only use one name for.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And by the way, are you in the majority here of people who have said this is the best freshman class they can probably ever remember?
Well, I'm old enough to remember 1979. So in terms of impact on the game, yeah, it's probably the best, because back then they didn't let freshmen rule the way they do now because there were so many seniors around. So the fact that James Worthy and Ralph Sampson and Isaiah Thomas and Dominique, that group, that is the deepest class and probably the best class that we've ever seen, maybe ever will see. But the impact on the college game is more profound now because they let freshmen go. If you're the most talented player, we'll set it up for you. And they didn't. I mean, remember, Michael Jordan was third option on the 82 Carolina team. So that tells you everything you need to know about how much the game has changed.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Mike, we love talking to you. Thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate that.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Follow Mike on X at TSN Mike. You can read him all the time as well at sportingnews.com. And he joined us on the Progressive Guest Line. Up next, win some, lose some. You're not going to believe the story Paulie has about Jack Hughes. He's going to share it coming up next.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays. Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right, let's keep this going. It's fun. It's eight in a row. And there's a play tonight with Eastern Washington. And our producer, Luke, I retweeted his explanation on how to look for and find the angle. 79% going back last 45 plays? 47 plays. Thank you. Yes. Charlotte plus 1.5. Loyola Marymount plus 1.5. Keep it going with the angle. Oregon plus 250 on a money line. Oregon State 3-1. Cal plus 190. Florida second half again. They ran out Texas. And thanks to Mike Helms on Instagram, Navy in the Patriot League has won 12 in a row, and they're 16-1 in conference. Their wins going back 27, 28, 27, 16, 9, 15, 16, 8, 30, and 17 points. Because you guys aren't talking about it. I'm just cashing Navy tickets every night.
Hold on. I'm going to check every right game. Now. Like, do you know what the Argonauts have spread on the year?
I haven't looked, no.
Okay.
But, I mean, they're the class of that league, so they're going to be high numbers, but it certainly doesn't look like it matters with those scores. Also, thanks to a viewer who sent it in there, in action tonight at 65.5. UC Riverside, 10-0 overrun with their team total. They take on Santa Barbara tonight.
Yeah, I got it for you right now, Paulie. On the season, 19-8-1 ATS for Navy.
So it's a great run.
Yeah, killing teams like that, you're going to be covering most of your games.
Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in, we'll put you on. Look at this, the lady, the weather. The reporter's out doing the weather update with wreaking havoc on the East Coast, and they're at a dog park, and in the back, the dog is sitting there rolling in the snow.
Oh, he's showing off.
They're having fun? Yeah, right. He snuck in the newscast and hanging out on live television, rolling over and having fun. Oh, there he goes. Hey, what are you up to? Live TV? Got a snack? Okay, that's it. On about my day. That's excellent.
And here he comes again.
Oh, he's back in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. He's over and over again. Is this the professional eater again, Luke? Here he is. There, we found the video when the guy went to Mama's Pizza in Dallas-Fort Worth. Here he is stacking up the donuts.
God, I can't even look at
it. I know he's eating like four at a time. He's stacking the donuts like a sandwich and putting them down. And he ate. He went to the local, like we talked to the guys from Dallas. They've never seen the pink box donuts. They're so big. And that guy went and ate like 35 of them, no problem, when he picked them up at one of the locations.
Oh, got it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, impressive. Here's my lose some. Devils played last night. Jack Hughes back after the game. I don't know where the golden goal is. I don't know who has it. I don't have it. How is that possible?
I remember
one of the first things. Now, it's not on him, no doubt. He's just, I can't believe we won. We won the gold medal. He's going to celebrate with his teammates. It was like Valvano with NC State. You're looking for someone to hug. But when the Cubs won the World Series, what I remember is Anthony Rizzo put the ball right in his back pocket because he knows what that means. But nobody knows where the goal is and how much memorabilia is worth now.
So first of all, I mean, who do you blame then? You can't blame a single player.
I agree with what Darren Revelle tweeted, and he's in this business. And someone has to have that. That needs to be one person's job. An assignment.
On the team.
Once it goes to overtime, it's like, grab the puck once we win.
That's an assistant of an assistant, sort of coach
stick
or whatever.
Guy, I don't care.
Right, it could be the water bottle guy, doesn't make a difference. Yeah. Like, if that goal is scored, your job is to go on the ice immediately and get it.
And tell the referee, too. I mean, tell the ref, don't grab it out of the back of the net.
I never thought about that with a hockey puck. Like, what is something like that worth?
Yeah. After all the excitement and what's going on?
You know what? I'm going to Google that right now. Like, Sidney Crosby's golden goal in 2010, did that ever sell?
Yeah. And this is bizarre. Banned for life by the NBA for gambling and awaiting sentencing after pleading guilty, Jonte Porter signed with an upstart pro basketball league, the Seattle Superhawks. They play March 7th. People were shocked by that, myself included. No doubt. And bad for the Bucks, Pistons, 5.5 up to 10, won by 8. And the Bucks didn't need the points again, from 9 down to 3, won outright. Kevin Porter goes over again.
Yeah, he did.
What
it
a
again.
Story. I wish they played every night. How fun this is right now. College Hoops Grind is where real bettors find their edge. Dozens of games at night. Constant line movement. Opportunity for those who know where to look. Powered by advanced AI and connected insider sources. Sharp plays highlight sharp action, key numbers, and market shifts before the public catches up. Free reports, alerts, logs, and transparent results since 2011. SharpPlays.com. Trusted by pros. Monitored by the books. AI plays are crushing it. Get the Robinhood selections and all the great tweets. SharpPlays.com. Own the boards for Mark SharpPlays.
Okay, so with Crosby's goal in 2010, same thing happened. The puck was initially lost in the chaos, causing a vanished scare, but was quickly located and secured by the International Ice Hockey Federation for the Hockey Hall of Fame. It is not on the open market, but people have speculated that experts have chimed in saying that it could fetch millions of dollars. Others are saying it would be $500,000 to, oh my God. Okay. So ranging between 500,000 and 5 million.
Sure.
So again, you have no idea what something is worth until somebody's actually going to plunk down the change.
Everyone's got a price. Sure.
I'm asking 80,000. I'll give you 2.2 million. No kidding. My God. Of course.
No kidding. You never know with that stuff. And it's hot right now. The Pokemon card, the Honus Wagner, see, you know, that goes for $5 million. Same card went for $1
million yep.
5 years ago.
That's right. I do have some news tonight in the NBA, and the reason why that Minnesota Timberwolves number has ballooned up since we came on the air. John Collins is out. Laceration in the neck. That sounds awful.
What?
Yeah. And Kawhi Leonard also has been ruled out. So there you go. Now T-Wolves up to 8. You know what? This T-Wolves team, they are so tricky to... Actually, they're not. When they play good teams, that's when you want them. Mm-hmm. In a spot like this, maybe it's actually worth taking the Clippers, who have actually been pretty decent. I know there's no Kawhi. You know what? I got to look. What's Mathurin now? Mathurin's going to take 25 shots in this game tonight, potentially.
Yep, damn right. Like that. There's a couple games like this where so many guys are out. You can only look at... I mean, you have to look at Marshall for Dallas. And you got Bagley.
You have to look at Bagley.
But I know, but if a guy goes off, though, I would think... I'm talking like 30 points.
I got you.
25, it would be Marshall, but certainly you're right with Mathurin and how many shots he's going to take. And then the Kuminga thing's wild, too.
Oh, there
you go. If he goes over, how
damn
high
it.
Is it? Too high?
So I'm looking right at the screen today, and Mathurin was 21.5. I considered it. Then he went to 20.5. I'm like, huh, that seems reasonable. And then I never bet it. And here you go. Now he's at 23.5 or 24.5. Not going to bet it now, but... That guy has been on a tear the last three games.
Well, I'm glad we brought this up yesterday, too. The other news, the Colts have given permission to Anthony Richards to find a trade partner. The Vikings apparently are interested.
Oh,
AR on the Vikings. What do you think?
Man. What
do we do with this guy? I don't know.
Well, I mean,
interesting, right?
How about the Colts willing to punt on him already?
I know.
What a horrible, unless they know something.
That's
like,
what I was just going to say. But he's been in that building for years. And you know, that fluke injury and missed last year, and it's that you're right to punt this quick on a top five pick.
Okay, well then, so if you're the Vikings, like that was one of the first teams that came up, right?
Yes.
In the rumor mill, so to speak, there's no way he would start over J.J. McCarthy. Absolutely no way. But he would be a potential backup. I mean, under the pretense, I would think that McCarthy would either get injured or if he's horrendous yet again. Then they could go to him out of relief, you know. But then also, if they go get Anthony Richardson, that means they're not going to get anybody else. This team's too good.
Yeah.
If you
can do better than that.
You can absolutely do better than that.
Uh-huh.
So that would not be the right spot. Also, like, where is he in the pecking order of available quarterbacks? Certainly not. I mean, again, we don't love Kyler Murray, but come on, let's get real here. And you got to say that Malik Willis would certainly get a better contract than he would. Or a better, you know, chance to actually start games on a decent team.
You want to trade for Mac Jones?
That's also out there.
The 49ers think that could happen. And he had some good moments with the Niners last year. And now, Shanahan fixed him.
Now how much of that was actually playing with Shanahan?
That's right. But if you love KOC, you know, if you put him in Minnesota, maybe he can put up good numbers too when he has weapons.
Well, you would certainly rather have Mac Jones than Anthony Richardson if you're the Vikings.
Yes, yes.
So if they were to deal for Mac Jones, does he instantly become the starter over J.J. McCarthy? I think he's got to be the favorite to win the job.
Yeah, open competition, though.
I think Mac Jones in Minnesota actually could be pretty decent. Because, I mean, last year, KO... Now, they got it wrong, obviously, by letting Darnold go, but I still can't, in my head, get out of what KOC has done with previous quarterbacks. He's the guy who resurrected Sam Darnold. He's the guy who almost made it work with guys like Josh Dobbs. And Kirk Cousins was putting up insane numbers with that team. They have the weapons. So I think if Mac went there, I think going from Kyle Shanahan to KOC would actually be a pretty good move for that guy. And I would make him more than 50-50 to start week one next year.
Because these are the names we're throwing out. This is why Mitt Willis is going to get so much money.
I know.
Because everyone wants Willis, it's it.
That's going
with
to
the rumors.
That is completely dependent upon where he lands if I think it's going to work.
Yes.
As we said yesterday, Miami, absolutely no thank you. Other spots, Atlanta? Okay.
I'm intrigued by that. Yes.
Yep. Paul Stone on the program next, defending champion in the VSIN College Hoops Invitational. He's got some plays tonight on a tricky Thursday card. Find out which teams he's betting next here on VSIN.